We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Hey guys, your intro to your segments really sucked. Childish, unprofessional, a lot of yelling and screaming. How about growing up, eh?
Howard Simon. Jeremy White.
Whee!
On WGR.
High five and slapping butts.
Sports Radio 550.
I'm going to teach you a little lesson about gambling here. Howard, I know you're nervous about the world of gambling coming to pro sports.
I know the most important lesson.
Which is?
Use other people's money.
That's one. And you can't lose if you don't bet. But you also can't win if you don't bet.
I guess that's true.
I was listening to Evan Abrams, the Action Network guy that we have on in the afternoon yesterday.
Yeah.
So he pops on with Mike Shope and the Bulldog, and he's talking about the spreads and, you know, this team against the spread and this team against the spread. And the Patriots are the one team that when they have a big spread, they cover anyway, all the time. They're really good at covering the spread. Spread last night was 16.5 at the start of the game.
I would have taken the Patriots.
Well, so I'm thinking...
Although I would have been sweating going into the fourth quarter.
This is what happens. So I'm thinking, like, all right, they always cover. It's the Giants. Of course they're going to cover, right? Yeah. So I'm going to bet the Patriots. And then I find out...
A good idea.
Wait, the game is in New England? This whole time I thought it was in New York.
Okay.
The whole time I thought it was in New York.
Right.
And they're home, so they'll want to put on a show for their fans. I am definitely going to bet the Patriots. Yeah. Mm. Free money.
Yeah.
I get all the way to the process that I have to take, which will soon be a little easier someday.
Yeah, it should be.
I get to the screen. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do it.
Oh, come on.
what were you worried about?
Losing the money. And the second part is, so then it's halftime, or not halftime, but then it's 14-14. I'm, you know, checking in on the game. Like, oh, good. All right. Thank you. I'm glad that I didn't make this bet because, man, I would have felt like such an idiot.
Yeah.
And then they pulled away.
They won by 21.
Exactly. And they covered and like, well, they can't win them all.
Hey, can we just, there's something wrong with Patriots offense.
There's definitely something wrong with their offense.
You know, we said it here after the game against the Bills, and I thought, well, you know, the Bills defense is really, they just do not look right.
It might be Tom Brady.
Amen, bro.
Right.
I'm still leaning towards he's got Edelman and nothing else. They have no tight ends. Josh Gordon hasn't been productive. Philip Dorsett hasn't been productive. And then they have guys I couldn't even name their names after that. The offensive line lost a couple guys to injury. I'm still going to go with around Brady. But we usually, what did they score last night? Three offensive touchdowns, right? Because one was defense, one was special teams. Even the Boston media are writing stories this morning about, you know, the Patriots offense just doesn't look right. And Brady didn't throw a touchdown. He had a couple one-yard touchdown runs, but they didn't look good here. They weren't clicking. They haven't been able to get their running game going consistently most of this season. And, you know, that's a Giants defense that we saw against the Bills that wasn't really good. So I'm just throwing it out there. I know the first month plus of the season in years past is when we suggest, I wonder if there's some slippage in the Patriots when they're like 2-2 after four games. But this is now six games into the season. I know they don't look right on offense.
They don't. They look like a team that might win with defense because their defense is great.
And they're talking about, you know, up in New England, Brady wasn't happy when they let go Antonio Brown. He wasn't happy when they decided to release Benjamin Watson. And he, I think, apparently is, you know, quietly unhappy
stewing
with the lack of weapons he has on the offense. Yeah.
No, maybe that's why all these stories of other receivers, they're always linked to every receiver.
They drafted N'Keal Harry. Has he even been at? Is he hurt?
He's been
injured?
He has been hurt.
Injured. Okay. Because I was going to say, I thought he would be a really nice pickup for Brady if Brady decides to actually throw the ball to a rookie receiver. So, yeah, I just, for what it's worth, their defense on the other side, you know, I'm reading Mike Reese's story at ESPN.com. He's talking about this maybe being the best defense in Belichick's 20 years in New England. So they're really good on defense. They're outstanding on defense. But there's something going on with Brady in the offense. It just isn't a vintage Brady Patriots offense.
Mm-hmm.
Run or pass.
Well,
Which is great.
You know who they look like? They look like the Bills. They look a lot like the Bills.
Right.
A team that doesn't
doesn't
do a lot on offense and wins with defense. And when you saw the game between the two teams, what was it? It was a special teams play that makes the biggest difference in the game.
Right.
And it was two teams that struggled on offense against very good defenses. So I heard a caller yesterday to the afternoon show call and tell Chris that he thought the Bills are, you know, bold prediction, you can call me crazy, but I think the Bills are going to beat the Patriots in New England. And Chris said, I don't think that's crazy anymore.
Yeah, no, they might. I mean, it's not, you can't just run off and go, that's
nuts. And I think a lot of us would be in the same spot on that, which is, I don't think it's crazy. I'm not going to pick it, but I'm not going to tell you that it's crazy. Because they look like a team that, when I get scared of an NFL football team, it's because they're putting up 50. You know, a defense, if you're trying to keep the score low, hold the team to 10 points, you could still lose. Hold the team to 14 points, you could still lose. But if your offense is coming and putting up 50 burgers, like the Texans did.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That could be my own little flaw there. But, yeah, New England just, they could lose. That stretch of games they've got against those five teams, Kansas City, Baltimore.
Six games.
Yep. Houston's in there. Yeah, maybe they could lose a couple in there. We went through that yesterday. And if they're struggling that much with the Giants and have to get more special teams touchdowns to pull away from the Giants, and Daniel Jones, who didn't have a great game, he had one really nice play, but other than that, you know, rookie quarterback against Belichick on the road, good luck.
Yeah.
I wonder about them. If they win the Super Bowl, I'm going to be so mad. So mad.
Well, if they win the Super Bowl, it's because of their outstanding defense. There are a couple stats. I wanted to actually... I don't know how to put this in perspective to the rest of the league, but I was curious. Like last night, they got 35 points, but they got two touchdowns from defense and special teams. Their defense and special teams have now combined for, nice thing about don't look at your fantasy, five touchdowns from the defense and special teams for the first six games of the season. The Patriots offense, so I thought, what have they done? Okay, so I'm at Pro Football Reference. I'm going to need a little time to compare this to the rest of the league, but they have 16 offensive touchdowns in six games. Which isn't bad, I guess, but by Patriots standards, a little over two offensive touchdowns a game by Brady standards has got to be low. Now, again, I don't know where it's... I'm sure the Bills have less. I should probably look up the Bills, right? There's no way they have 16 offensive touchdowns, right?
No.
So I'll look that up. But by their standards, by Patriots standards, that's not clicking. And when he was here, when they were here, rather, Brady just did not look comfortable. And he was off target, and he's trying to find, you know, anybody not named Edelman he has not been able to hook up with on a regular basis. And Sony Michel has not played well this season. I know I went into that game worrying more about James White because he's a multi-purpose back. But really, if you look at their offense and you think about the weapons they have, running backs, tight ends, wide receivers, the one guy you'd be worried about is Edelman. And then I would say James White is the next guy. It's just not an offense that you're scared of. It just... Something's missing. The Brady ability to, you know, throw for, you know, 400 yards and fall out of bed and put 40 points up. It's just not there. These guys are really, by their standards, what we're used to seeing from New England, struggling.
Except their defense is better than
it's
it probably
lights out
ever has been.
Yes, it's
then
incredible.
Again, we did this yesterday. We have a texter that says, you know, they're 6-0. They've won every game but one by 20 points.
Yep.
They've only been tested once, and that was by the Bills. Every other... You know, run down who they've played. And Pittsburgh in their opening day game is probably their best case because they blew out the Steelers and the Steelers look bad. But who knows? Maybe Roethlisberger's shot. We don't get to know that. He's missing the rest of the year.
Right.
But their other wins are over Luke
Jets.
Falk.
Yep.
The Dolphins and Fitz.
Yeah.
Last night's game, Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't exactly had NFL tests outside of the Bills. And even that is... You know, a quarterback in an offense that can struggle sometimes. And that was their close game. So I don't think that they are just made. I mean, their next two games, they play Miami again.
They play the Jets next. Is it Miami after
Darnold.
That
okay, so Darnold is a little bit of an upgrade over Luke Falk, you would hope. Yeah, they'll probably get to 8-0. And then we'll see what happens from there. They'll probably win the division. We'll see. But, yeah, it just – you're right. It doesn't look like your usual Patriots. It looks like a different version of them, like – another Jason movie, Freddy movie, whatever, where they've returned from the dead and Brady is still here and now second all-time in passing yards. How many yards do you have to go to get to number one? Because maybe that's when he's going to retire.
What's he at?
He just passed Peyton Manning for all-time air yards.
I was actually looking up their strength of schedule and who they've beaten so far this season.
Nobody.
Take care of that.
They've beaten nobody.
Their opponent's win percentage is .241. So, look, not that I'm throwing stones. The Bills is .200. So they're at .241. Right. They haven't faced the meat of their schedule yet. That's still to come a couple of weeks away.
He has about 3,000 yards to catch the number one passer of all time, who is?
Drew Brees.
Correct.
And injured.
Hurt.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if Brees came back after Brady caught him, and then each week we're seeing who moves farther?
It'd be like a Maguire-Sosa home run chase.
And they just kind of held out to see who could finish on top.
Yeah. And which guy? And then they both retire at the end of the season. Or one guy waits for the other guy to retire and says, you know, I'm going to play one more year. Yeah, and look, they might still win the division. They still have a fantastic coach. And as we mentioned, they have a great defense. But and it's not like they're winning in spite of their offense. Their offense just isn't putting – they're just not producing and doing things. By the way, having said all this, they are third in scoring in the league, but some of that is a byproduct of your
defense.
They've got special teams getting touchdowns.
A lot of defensive touchdowns.
That's five touchdowns from those guys. So to put it in perspective, their offense has 16 touchdowns in six games. The Bills' offense has produced 11 touchdowns in five games. So, you know, a little bit of a gap, but not. I think that just goes to show you that they're still trying to figure out what they're doing on that side of the ball. Last night, I guess the owner, Robert Kraft, was talking about how he's holding out hope that Gronkowski would still come back this season. I'm sure they would welcome him in with open arms and give him just about anything he wants to come back, because their tight ends are producing nothing. You know, when was the last time Brady's got to be just dying with what he's got at tight end right now. There's just nothing they're getting out of that position at all. So, knock on wood, hopefully this keeps up. If it does, maybe the division is in play as the season goes on. We'll know more after the Patriots go through that crazy stretch of their schedule. But there are reasons to look at it and go, something's up in New England, man. Maybe Brady gets disgusted and just walks away at the end of the year.
Maybe.
You know,
I think they would probably just pass for or trade for a receiver.
Well, you would think they would do. Yeah, well, you know, like you said, a lot of the rumors about the receivers, you know, A.J. Green's name is out there. I think people put Stephon Diggs' name out there because he's frustrated in Minnesota. The Vikings have said they're not trading him. For that matter, Zach Taylor in Cincinnati yesterday said we're not trading A.J. Green. But if you see teams connected in the rumor mill with any possible receivers that are up for trade, New England is at the top of the list. So we'll see. Maybe they do make a trade and do something to help him up, because they need to do something to fix the offense. It is, and despite all that, they're 6-0. So whatever. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. I thought about it when they were here. Just keep that in the back of your mind, that something's not right up there.
We have a texter that's a funny request. It's the bye week. We do have time. Bills and Patriots both go 15-1. Each loses to each other. Who wins the division by strength of schedule? We've got a lot of time.
Strength of victory, strength of schedule. Right. Wow, we got to get through tiebreakers again.
Yeah.
Division record, conference record,
it matters.
Common games.
It would matter who. They both play Miami twice in Washington. I was trying to make the Washington-Miami game count some way.
In that scenario, the Patriots would have lost to. Victory. They both lose to each other here.
And that's
the
it.
The Patriots, the first place schedule, so playing Kansas City probably helps
their
them.
Their strength of victory should be better then?
Yeah.
Because that is the tiebreakers are head-to-head, division, conference, common games, strength of victory. Right now, they have a slight edge on strength of victory. New England does.
Yeah, they'd be tied in common games.
They would be tied in the division.
Yeah.
And they would have split the
head-to-head. Strength of victory?
Strength of victory.
They each have a win over a 15-1 team.
That's right. But then the Bills' next best win would be Baltimore or Dallas?
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, whoever. Now you'd have to start hoping that Baltimore and Dallas have a whole bunch of victories to help the Bills out. Wow, we're getting the strength of victory.
Pretty far down the rabbit hole there.
To determine a 15-1, which I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's never been two teams tied for 15-1 at the end of the season needing a tiebreaker to settle their division.
Also worth asking, is Gronk coming back?
Maybe.
They're talking about him, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't see the interview last night. Gronkowski was interviewed, and you know, he hasn't filed his retirement papers, so that's fueling the speculation as well. You know, I don't know. I'm sure they would love him back. I'm positive they would take him back in a heartbeat. But I wonder if you're Gronk, you know, you dropped weight. Have you been working out at all? Are you in any kind of shape? Do you want to go back and subject your body to the pounding? And the guy took a pounding, gave out and took a pounding over the years. I don't know. I just didn't see Gronk coming back. When you step away from football, I'm not sure that you'd want to get back in it again. And if he shows up, when does he show up? Does he come in like after Thanksgiving? How long would he need to get ready? Right? Is this? It's almost like you'd be talking about an NHL team trading for a rental at the deadline, and you get a month or two out of them, and you're in month or so, and then you're in the playoffs. I don't expect him to come back because I'm not sure how he could pull this off. If I'm him, I'm not coming back until like the final month-ish of the season, you know, after Halloween for sure, closer to December. And how does he pull that one off? I mean, he knows the plays and everything. He knows Brady, obviously.
Yeah.
He's got to be in shape. But again, if I'm him, why would I want to take the pound?
Well, you wonder,
my body?
Would they want him to be... Because people have noted he looks a lot trimmer.
He's thinner. He lost weight.
So would they want him to be a different version of himself?
Okay.
More of the pass-catching version instead of a guy that's going to be... Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest thing they could always do with him is put him on the field no matter what they were doing.
You can make him a wide receiver.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if he's lost that much weight, you don't want him in line. You don't want him on the end of the offensive line. I suppose you could teach him to be a wide receiver for however many games. You'd basically bring him in, right, for the last month of the season and a playoff run. And you'd have another weapon instead of maybe, look, here, how's this? Instead of trading for a wide receiver, they convince Gronkowski to come back, and that's their offensive addition.
That would be annoying. Another year of
the... Because the Bills would have to face him at the second to last game of the season. Right. He has fantastic numbers against everybody, but he had a great career against the Bills, and that's a tough matchup. So we'll see.
It's too bad the next matchup between these two teams is so late. It wouldn't be so bad if it were in about 4 weeks instead of the second to last game of the season.
But if both teams play this thing out the way they are, this is, you know, the league loves the late season division matchups because there could be so much on the line. You know, whether it's a division title or two teams in the division fighting for second place and an inside track and a wild card spot. I mean, let's figure this. Think about this. When is that game? December what? 20-something, whenever it is. If that's for the division, are you kidding me? A Week 16 matchup, two teams playing for the division on a Saturday is great for the NFL. Yep. I mean, that would work out tremendous for them if that game means something.
Texter writes in, Gronk said he would need 1 month to be ready, and he just signed a deal with Fox to be an analyst. I mean, Jason Witten was in the booth. The deal with Fox would not surprise me at all if there's language in there that says, if I decide to play football, I'm going to go play football.
So if he needs 1 month to get ready, and you'd think they'd want him in the lineup for the stretch run in December, he'd have to show up around November 1st and practice for a month and be ready for the last, whatever it is, five games of the season for New England. Maybe it depends on how they do. You know, we talked about that stretch of 6 games that are coming up and how, you'd really need them to drop at least 2, if not 3. Maybe New England sees how they get through that. And maybe they start, if they do fine, then they don't think about it or pursue Gronkowski as much. If they go 3-3 in that stretch, maybe they're on the phone begging the agent to tell Rob Gronkowski to come back. So it could be they're just playing it by ear and seeing what happens because the tough part of their schedule is yet to come. It's still... What'd you say? 3 weeks away?
Mm-hmm.
Jets and then Miami? So 3 weeks away before they get to the real difficult stretch in their schedule.
Well, what do we do this week? Just wait?
You can't even root against New England on Sunday.
No.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, you don't have to root against the Jets. Do you root for the Dolphins because you don't want them to pick number one?
No, I don't worry about that stuff.
Okay.
I don't. I mean, for me to tell you that Tua Tagovailoa, and I don't know if he's going to be a star. I wouldn't necessarily root for that stuff. So I don't worry about that. I don't fret about that stuff. I'll just enjoy a day of football on Sunday and see what's happening around the conference. I think, obviously, I'm thinking more about, you know, the Chargers and the Raiders and the Colts and the teams that are in the wild card race. If the Bills can't beat out New England, and I still would not pick them to win the division, then I'd be thinking about who's in the wild card race and trying to get all these teams more losses. Get Oakland a third loss, you know. Get the Browns a fourth loss. Let them lose to Seattle on Sunday, you know. So I'd be thinking more about that and trying to create some separation between the Bills and the rest of the division because the Bills are in good shape, 4-1, the only 4-1 team in the AFC. So we'll keep stacking losses on everybody else in the conference. I didn't see it last night. Apparently, there was a pass interference that was blatant. that was not flagged and not overturned either. So I would like to congratulate the NFL on their big offseason move, which has proven to be ridiculously useless. And now you can go into the offseason and get rid of your PI challenge rule.
Do you think they will?
Yes, from this standpoint. Well, how did they get the rule in the first place? Coaches complained.
And coaches are still complaining?
Coaches are going to complain. Because if they're losing timeouts, you know, and they don't, I think they spent the first month of the season complaining they didn't know the standard yet. And they were trying to get a feel for New York and what they would overturn, what they wouldn't overturn. In the meantime, it is costing coaches timeouts when they choose to challenge. They challenged. I didn't see the game live. I saw the clip. Golden Tate looked like he was basically bear-hugged by a defensive back before the ball got to him. They didn't call a penalty. Pat Shurmur challenged it, and the call on the field stood. No pass interference. It was clear pass interference. Maybe not, you know, jump into a guy, Rams Saints pass interference, but it was clear pass interference, and they didn't call it. I think coaches will complain at the end of the season and say, what's the point? You know, we put this rule on the books, and you guys aren't overturning, or you're not saying, yeah, we missed that call. Now we're going to flag it, and we're challenging this thing, and it's costing us timeouts, and we have no idea what you guys are thinking in New York. So I would think coaches, if this keeps up, coaches will complain at the end of the offseason, what was the point of having the rule in place? All it did was cost them timeouts. There's no way that should have been pass interference. It should have been pass interference. In the meantime, Pat Shurmur loses a timeout and they don't make the call. So, yes, I think that will lead to the coaches complaining the offseason. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I just wanted to bring that up because that was my obsession through the offseason was the PI challenge rule, and it's been a complete failure. And all it does is make fans unhappy who think there's a touchdown or something on the play, and they say, well, nope, on the other side of the play, even though it had no effect on the play, we found a guy with offensive pass interference, if they actually do throw that. Anyway.
It has distracted us from what's a catch, though, right? That doesn't really have...
I haven't seen a play yet this year where I thought I didn't know whether it was a catch or not, now that you bring that up.
We don't... For some reason, it's almost like we're being, you know... that's the old controversy. Yeah. Here's the new one.
Yeah. And I mean, it took him a few years... And they had to, you know, the whole fall to the ground, maintain. I think now we have a pretty good handle on what a catch is. So I guess I should credit them for that. But the PI challenge is bad, and the roughing the passer. I think you're going to hear as much as coaches want their quarterbacks protected. There are plays that are clean tackles that are being flagged for roughing the passer. And would it have been, was it the Bills-Titans game? I'm trying to remember, there was a play last Sunday where a pass rusher, basically his hand, was it the Bills game? Patted on the helmet of the quarterback? That's roughing the passer. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, I think they'll chuck out the PI challenge, and I think you're going to see a lot more complaints about the roughing the passer calls and what they're flagging in the league. Hey, it is Football Friday. Yeah, I know. It's a bye week. Doesn't matter. It's Football Friday. Brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, the official casino of the Buffalo Bills. And you can let us know. One of the things tweeted out this morning, five games in, who, what do you love? If you want to do more forward thinking, that's cool too. When the schedule resumes, what do you need to see? What are some of the aspects of the Bills, whether it's a team point you want to make, or an individual? Hopefully Devin Singletary will be back and we'll see him add to the offense. What are some of the things you need to see when the schedule resumes? We'll talk about that. We will get to some Sabres discussions today because they're playing Florida tonight. We will have Paul Hamilton joining us at 7:30. We are bringing in Nate Geary this morning from the Countdown to Kickoff and Overtime shows on Bills Game Days. He's going to join us for a little mini roundtable from 8 to 9 o'clock. So we got plenty of time for you, too. 803-0550 to join us or 888-552-550 on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Tell you, what I really appreciate is the defense of Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier. That is a fun defense to watch. and just the fundamental execution, the little tweaks here and there. It's a really fun defense to watch.
That is Greg Cassell from ESPN's NFL Matchup. He was on One Bills Live earlier this week. If you missed it, it is available in on-demand audio. No One Bills Live today. It'll be the brothers DiBiase sitting in again from noon to 3. Joe and Lou were on yesterday. They'll be on again today talking football with you. There was football last night. The Patriots didn't look great. I mean, it was a tie game late third. What, 7-point game going into the fourth quarter? And the Patriots beat the Giants 35-14. Tom Brady passed Peyton Manning last night. He's now number 2. All time in passing yards. Brady had a couple of 1-yard touchdown runs in the win. New England is now 6-0, and they will play the Jets next. Robert Kraft, speaking of the Patriots, said they are still holding out hope that Rob Gronkowski will return at some point this season. Zach Taylor, Bengals head coach, yesterday said they are not going to be trading wide receiver A.J. Green. Hockey, the Sabres play Florida tonight, continue a 3-game homestand. And that game is at 7 o'clock. We'll have it here on WGR beginning at 6 with the pregame show. Last night around the league, Tampa blasted Toronto 7-3. The Leafs have lost 3 in a row. Heavens to Betsy. Are they? Is the Babcock watch started yet amongst the Toronto sports media? If it hasn't, I bet it is by Monday if they lose another game. The Canadiens lost their home opener, so they're off to a slow start. Montreal got beat by Detroit 4-2. Let's see what else. Boston lost to Colorado, same score, 4-2. And the Oilers are 4-0. Edmonton with a shootout win at New Jersey. The Devils slow out of the gate, too. Syracuse lost to NC State last night, 16-10. Houston, I didn't know if I figured. I just
going to give you
a
quick facts only thing. Nothing good has ever happened when Syracuse plays NC State. That's it.
Ever?
Ever. Nothing ever good has happened.
Really?
My memories include watching NC State beat Syracuse in week one or week two. The week after the Syracuse-Tennessee game of 1998.
Oh, a great game.
They lost to NC State.
Did they?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
They lost to NC State on a 2-point conversion or something at the Dome. It was heartbreaking. They lost to NC State when Torrey Holt got 1,000 yards receiving in the course of his career against Syracuse. Yeah.
That's a nice memory.
When Syracuse plays NC State, we talk about fear bunkers.
Yeah.
This is, just get in the fear bunker.
It's not a
it's going to go poorly.
Football program you would usually build a fear bunker
nope,
for.
Not unless you're Syracuse, and you just get hammered by NC State all the time.
Well, your offense getting only 10 would be the big issue,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that quarterback that we've got, he's no Eric Dungy.
Okay. It's the baseball playoffs, Houston. Thank you, Houston. Beat Tampa 6-1. So the Astros now go on to the ALCS, and they will host the Yankees in Game 1 tomorrow night. The National League Championship Series begins tonight, and that'll be Washington at St. Louis. Those are your headlines. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. You know, you started the show talking about betting, so let's continue and do a little betting with no money, just strictly for entertainment and opinion purposes only. We have some football, a little bit of hockey. And if I'm in a good mood, I'll throw in an NBA thing for you because the season starts soon. Bet it or forget it. Brought to you by Seneca Poker. Inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. The Bills are off, but yet they show up in Bet It or Forget It. The Bills' next game is against the Miami Dolphins a week from Sunday at New Era Field. Depending on Jeremy's answer, well, actually, either way, you'd probably want to be there. I mean, they're 4-1. They should win the game. I don't think you'll have to sweat it out. But you might see something significant. Bet it or forget it. The Bills against the Dolphins will end the 300-yard passing game drought. 37?
I'm going to bet that.
37?
Going to bet that. The Dolphins are horrible. And I think the Bills win by 30. The Bills will
that's my second question.
Okay.
Don't say point spreads.
They'll cover the spread. The Dolphins won't.
No, you just answered the other.
I don't know how the Dolphins will score against this Bills defense.
Well, you wouldn't think they'd put up, like, maybe get a touchdown out of it. Garbage time, fourth quarter points.
Can't protect the quarterback. They don't have really good weapons. They can't stop a nosebleed on defense. It's going to be 37-0.
Whoa!
Yeah.
It's going to
be a
check
party.
The largest shutout win
you
over the Dolphins.
You should party at the stadium.
So Allen gets the 299, it's a blowout. They take him out and put Barkley in. Does that still count? I guess it would still count as ending a 300-yard passing game.
No, definitely not.
With two quarterbacks? No, it doesn't count?
No, no, no. It's all one, right. It's one
so
single
that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
He's going to get the 299. They're going to be up huge. It's the fourth quarter. They don't want him getting hurt. They take Allen out. Barkley comes in, and he sits at 299. So you mentioned the point spread. The Action Network, the Bills, early odds for the Miami game, they're giving 14 points. However, they predict it could be a 15-point line by the time the week seven lines become available on Sunday night. So right now it's at 14. I believe you just answered that, but better to forget it. The Bills will cover.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
If they don't, we've got problems.
The line against Washington would be lower, right? Would they be a bigger favorite against Miami or what? Maybe that depends on Sunday's game.
Yeah. It's too soon to know. Yeah, okay. That's a good question.
Might depend on how that game plays out. Miami's playing Washington Sunday.
Yeah.
I guess if one team looks really, really bad, if the Skins get blown out by the Dolphins, for example, maybe that shifts that line drastically. The Bills, we were talking about New England in the first segment, and you brought up the possibility of the old 15-1 matchup. It would be 14-1, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 14-1 matchup in Week 16. Now, I'm going to keep this simple. The Bills game at New England in Week 16 will be for a share of first place.
I will not bet that, no.
Okay. In theory, the Bills could be one game behind and playing to tie New England in the standings.
Could be.
So, no. BetOnline.ag, updated NFL MVP odds. That will give you some names. You let me know who you're vibing.
Okay.
The favorite, as he was in the last week in the odds, is still Patrick Mahomes, 5-4. Russell Wilson, 11-4. Christian McCaffrey is the third favorite, 15-2. Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers. Those are your top. Actually, Brady's tied with Rodgers at 12-1. So, who would you bet on for the MVP? Those are your top six candidates right now in terms of the odds. Mahomes, Wilson, McCaffrey, Watson, Rodgers, Brady. It's not going to be Brady.
Russell Wilson.
At 11-4.
He has not yet won an NFL MVP, right? He has
even
deserved
they won the
one.
Super Bowl, they didn't, he didn't win the MVP.
I don't think he's ever been the NFL MVP.
Hmm. Yeah, he's the face of the franchise, so I would think that I would just a heads up on McCaffrey, only because he is headed towards like record numbers, I think, in yards from scrimmage in terms of his MVP chances. So Russell Wilson, all right, very good. Throw you some hockey. Victor Olofsson has 4 goals in 4 games, so he is on pace for 82 goals this season. Which would not break the Gretzky record, though. But anyway, Olofsson will score 30 goals this season.
No, I will not bet that.
All of them on the power play. Where does he end up? 20 goals this
20
season.
20-plus, for sure. Okay. Assuming he stays healthy, yeah.
Colin Miller has 3 points in his first 4 games as a Buffalo Sabre. His career high from 2 years ago in Vegas is 41 points.
Ooh,
Colin Miller will top 41 points.
That's going to be close. It's going to be close. I'm going to say yes. Ristolainen used to get 40 points consistently just by being on the top pair and playing for this team and being on the power play. And I think Miller, sure.
Okay.
It's going to be close.
Could have a couple. They wouldn't have 3. Darlene should be over 40. He was over 40 last season. So you should have at least 2 40-point defensemen here. One other hockey note. Elliot Friedman this week in his 31 Thoughts wrote this.
He wrote that too. Did he write the
DUH? His annual plea, a baseball style wild card play in for the NHL. He writes that Gary Bettman and Bill Daly are completely against a one game showdown. So Friedman suggests 7-10, 8-9, 2 game, total goals.
Listen,
played back to back.
I don't care how they do it if they want to have a wild card play in, they need to ditch the current format.
Yeah,
as soon
still
as possible.
Have 2 more years left on
Travis that? Yost tweeted last night something that was very. He simply wrote, "Boy, it'd be really nice to see Toronto and Tampa in a playoff series." And my thought was, "Yeah, it really would."
Mm-hmm.
And if they're the two best teams in the division, you can't see it until the second round. Sometimes maybe you'll never see it. I can't believe the NHL has such a terrible format. I like that we've gotten on record with complaining about it many times before the Sabres hit that format, but I can't believe that the NHL thinks it is a good thing to completely limit the number of potential scenarios you get in the first round. And you only do it for 4 of the series. The other 4 are just wide open to anything because of the wild cards. So for some insane reason, they think this is a good format. I was reminded of it yesterday, and I got mad about it again. So you want a play-in game? Sure, fine. I'm into that.
How long was this? Does this run the length of the CBA? I'm trying to remember.
I don't even know.
I got to look that up because I'm curious.
I've got a better to forget it for you.
Oh, I got my and I got one NBA for you.
All right, real go quick. For that one first,
real quick,
because this is gonna be different.
Very simple. We're approaching the start of the NBA regular season, so I wanted to throw in Golden State. They have a streak of 5 straight berths in the NBA Finals, second best all time to the legendary Celtics teams.
I would not
Bill
bet
Russell.
It. No,
I figured you'd say okay. Forget it.
The Breaking Bad movie is coming out, right? It comes out maybe this week on Netflix. It's called El Camino. Breaking Bad. You haven't seen the show, but
no idea about
this. Yeah, Derek, Breaking Bad. You've seen it.
I'm not a huge Breaking Bad fan.
My entire life is sitting in this chair asking the two people that sit in this room, hey, have you seen this thing? And the answer is always no. Anyway,
sorry.
For those of you out there, listeners, I got you. So the Breaking Bad movie's coming out. You can bet on it. There are prop bets on the outcome of the movie, which I have not seen, so no spoiler alert. Again, I'm not even sure when it comes out. I'll see it eventually. And it's going to be on Netflix. So Jesse Pinkman's character. You can bet on whether or not Jesse Pinkman, if you don't, spoiler alert if you haven't been to the end of Breaking Bad, the series, will he die in this movie?
Okay.
Yes or no?
Sure.
You can also bet on his method of death.
Oh.
Can I tell you the number?
Oh, my goodness.
Can I read these to you?
You can bet on these
days.
Come on, really?
I got to read these to you.
Sword through heart.
There is no sword through heart, but you can bet, does he die? Yes or no? Gunshot?
Sure.
Knife or axe? Blunt force, poison, car accident, drug overdose, strangulation, pushed off a building. Or a bridge. Pushed off the building or a bridge. Suicide, buried alive, burnt alive, crossbow, drowning, or electrocution. Crossbow.
Can you crossbow them and then drowning while electrocuting
them? That's a great question. I don't know how they're going to pay.
Like a 3-1?
These are bets that they are taking online.
You could do that. You could shoot him with a crossbow but injure him, not make it fatal.
And then he drowns?
And then push him in water. And electrocute
and
him
would,
when he goes in the
they
water.
They would have to have a giant follow-up movie where they get a coroner, where they determine cause of death.
Cause of death was.
They'll review it.
Howard,
throw
you
the
know
flag.
What? Put down that sword through the chest, and maybe they use a sword crossbow through the chest.
Yeah.
You would win.
Okay. I think I like the crossbow and then drown him with a giant toaster in the water.
All right, well, the movie came out today. Thank you for a texter pointing out. The movie is apparently out on Netflix. And if you, if it's out now, you can't bet. But those were prop bets. They were taking at Bet Online.
Oh, prop bets is what makes life wonderful. Bet it or forget it. Brought to you by Seneca Poker. Inside the Seneca Niagara Casino, the real deal for winners only. 803-0550 to join us. It is Football Friday. And yes, we are still talking about the Bills on the bye week. It is brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, the official casino of the Buffalo Bills. We're giving you the option. You can look back. You can look forward. You can do both. Who or what have you loved in the first 5 games? A lot of people, not surprisingly, tweeting me about the play of the defense. And what do you need to see? What are you really going to be looking to see from the Bills when the schedule resumes? Garnett tweeted in the great play of the defense and Dawson Knox. And as far as looking ahead, a trade or two to upgrade the roster before the deadline in a year of great opportunity. You can call us and share your thoughts on that. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. Something else you want to talk about, that's cool too, to join us on WGR.
Well, I think the way they were moving the puck very confidently and assertively, and, you know, Yoki's been a great partner together with Scandi because of his leadership and experience working in the other way. So without the puck, they're working hard down low. They're playing hard minutes on the PK for us, and at the same time, launching a lot of our neutral zone chances yesterday. It came off their sticks, so it's a nice combination to have right now.
That is Sabres coach Ralph Krueger talking about the defense pairing of Henry Jokiharju. Did he say Jokiharju or so it's you? We're going with Jokiharju?
Well, he says Yoki in the clip.
For goodness sakes.
Can we stop with
the nicknames? I'm trying to figure out the last guy. Mm-hmm.
It's Yoki, Scandi, Larzy. Yeah. Anything that ends with an E, it's probably a hockey nickname.
Colin Miller's got to be Millsy then, right?
Probably.
Even though Millsy was...
Olofsson is Oli.
See, I think Oli the goalie. But sure, I guess all of it makes sense. Anyway, he's talking about the defense pairing of Jokiharju and Scandi. The Sabres are in action tonight against the Florida Panthers, a 7 o'clock game. We'll have it here on WGR beginning at 6 for the pregame show. We'll talk some hockey with Paul. He's going to join us at 7:30. Two more games on this homestand. Be nice to, you know, at least get a split, get points, get a little more points here before you go out to the West Coast swing and play the Ducks, who got their first loss of the season last night. The Kings off to a decent start, and then San Jose, who had been playing horribly, and then the Sharks finally won their first game of the season last night. On our Bills discussions, Nathan tweeted in, our defense is legit. Our offense is showing it can move the ball. I need to see us put up points on top of moving the ball. Last night's game, regardless of his weapons, Brady still missed some throws he usually does not in the past. He looked that way against the Bills, too. He just looked out of sync with his receivers, not named Julian Edelman. And by the way, yes, we're going to bring this up with Nate Geary when he's here for the roundtable in the 8 o'clock hour. The Bills are moving the ball. Yards per game, they're doing okay. Middle of the pack. Points per game, they're back down around like 26, 27. So they're moving the ball, and then turnovers, penalties, missed field goals in some instances has been a bigger issue for the offense. They're just not getting points on some of these drives when they're getting into scoring territory. Mike tweeted in, Josh Allen's accuracy does not seem to be much of a problem. Now we need more quarterback intelligence, protect the ball, protect his body. He's done a little better at sliding. The exception to the rule would have been that last game against Tennessee when he decided to run for the first down up the middle and ran into a brick wall, which was one of the Tennessee linebackers, and took a big pounding. So they've tried to tell him to get out of bounds, slide, but when he is that close to a first down marker, I think you're still going to see him try and get the extra yard or two like he did in Tennessee, and he was knocked short.
One thing we can talk about with Nate, he and I have talked about this before, and somebody was tweeting about this yesterday, and I think it was him, about Allen and the idea of there being growth and there being a difference. We still talk about this growth like it is baby steps, right? The growth conversation is about baby steps.
Yeah.
When does it become about big steps?
Well, I hope this season.
Yeah, sometime this year?
I'd hope in the next 11 games out of the bye, we talk about a big leap.
Is it fair, though? Do you think that's right that we're still talking about? I mean, we're talking about sliding and throwing the ball away when instead of throwing an interception.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
that's still kind of
basic stuff, smart decision making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to say that there's not more there. Colin Cowherd was talking about the Bills, and he ranked them in his top 10 and talked about the defense and talked about Allen's ceiling and said he's nowhere near it right now, which I think is probably right. Who knows if he'll get to it? There's no way that what he's doing right now is what the Bills thought his ceiling would be. Right? There's no way. So there's definitely more in there, and not everybody reaches their ceiling. But I think about Allen, and I think about bigger steps to be taken.
Yeah.
For someone to say, you know, the accuracy is not a problem anymore. Maybe we haven't seen enough. We haven't seen a shootout game where you need him to be accurate on 35 passes as opposed to just going. I don't know. He's been like 23 or 31 in what feel like game managey roles instead. So, you know, there are more steps to be taken. I guess one of the things that I don't agree with is that there have been huge, huge steps that he's taken. I think he's taken the appropriate amount from year one to year two. He looks a lot like he did last year, but he runs less. And he finds the middle of the field a little bit more.
Yeah.
But there are definitely more that should come at some point. The downfield passing game has almost
non-existent.
Yeah, it's almost dried up.
It's a vertical passing game.
And I'm not saying necessarily that's
it's a horizontal. You want to be vertical. Right?
And
it's
that
not
might
a
not
vertical
even be,
passing game.
Might not even be his fault because that might be what teams have decided, we're going to take that away and make him use underneath. You eventually have to get it back.
Yeah, I think that's part of the big step. To me, is he better than last year? Yes, I think there are certain areas he has improved in. But there are still ball security issues. There are still decision-making issues. There is no deep ball pretty much in the offense right now. It has been there on occasion, and he has had open receivers on some bombs, but he has not been able to hit with those guys. Maybe that emerges in the second. Maybe Robert Foster has some of those places and emerges in the offense. But no, I'm happy with what I've seen. But oh my Lord, this better not be his ceiling. He's a game manager.
Sure.
Is what we're talking about him being a game manager. Hey, kid, don't turn the ball over. Make smart decisions. Take what the defense is giving you. Throw the checkdowns. Throw it underneath. We've got a really great defense. That's the definition of a game manager. I'd like him to go beyond that, obviously, and win games with the offense.
I want to read you a quick text from Colby about the defense. He says, a lot of people reference the yards per game being in the top 10. You pointed that out, right?
It's in the top 20. I think it's like 17.
I thought it was 12 going into this week, but whatever. Yards per game, the offense moving the ball. Colby writes in, the defense getting the ball back into the offense's hands as often as they are with three and outs creates more offensive plays. It's making the Bills look like they have more yards moving the ball than they do. So I looked into that real quick.
It's 13th total yards per game.
Okay, 13th in yards per game. Where are they in yards per play?
Yards per play, they are 21st.
Tied with the two teams that played last night.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
So everything we just said about the Patriots offense, how it doesn't look the same,
There
it is. They look like the Bills.
But it's funny. They're getting, if you just look at the Patriots scores, 33 against Pittsburgh, 35 against the Giants, they're getting defense and special teams.
And they're still only getting 5.5 yards per play, which is exactly what the Bills are getting.
They have a few more touchdowns offensively than the Bills do. They have 5 more than the Bills do, having played one more game. So they're converting a little bit more than Buffalo is.
Hmm. These teams are closer probably than ever. They both have great defenses. They both have offenses that have some success.
The Bills were 20 going into last night. They were 13th in total yards per game and 26th in scoring. So you're moving the ball, and then something's happening. You're not getting field goals. You're not getting touchdowns. Again, there's a variety of reasons for that. But they're moving, and then they're getting in scoring position, and they're not finishing off drives as well as they need to. And the next step for the offense is that we don't sit here and say, well, you only have to get to 14 or 17 because this defense is going to really smother people. No, I have the offense get to 24, 27, 28, 31, whatever. Have Josh Allen have a 300-plus yard, 4-touchdown passing day like Teddy Bridgewater did for the Saints last week. So, there's still, hopefully, plenty of upside in Josh Allen's game. It has to get better. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. It is Football Friday, brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, the official casino of the Buffalo Bills.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.